Excellent. Everybody here has signed IPR note, so I don't think we need to go through that disclaimer again. Do you know what week it is if it's trace interrupt or trace vocab?
I threw in the chat. It's vocab. And that's a link to the standing agenda that has all the links for pull requests.
Excellent. All right, so let's get started with the vocab.
I think we should make it a we should review our interoperability test results, or at least I think we should review today, maybe not every week, but we all seem to have a failure on the interop. So why don't we kind of just agree that we need to figure that, sort that out?
Yeah. To give some context, here are the interop test results.
Chris and I worked on it recently, and it became very nice and green, but now it's no longer quite as green.
Yeah, so I'm looking. So, because I worked on our end a bit recently as well, and I got it to work better.
It seems like it's the same thing failing all over the place. So it's probably something on
the... I think it's the present. So presentation seems to be failing everywhere. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. But also some other ones are failing.
It's the workflow collection that's failing. Maybe this was a little. Maybe I should have not looked into it before bringing it up. But I thought still, I just wanted to highlight it, and maybe we.
It's a good call out. That doesn't affect the conformance in any way, does it?
I haven't even looked.
No. So conformance, to give some more context, this is a link to the conformance suite. I think on our end, because I've worked quite a bit on this, the biggest ones were validation on credential subject ID that I just didn't get around to, and the credential issuer being an object or a string. I know that was a big thing that I just didn't get around to fixing. But I think conformance looks fine.
Yeah, right? I agree.
So maybe what we need to look at is interop and really figure out what's going on here. Okay, I don't know how much we can do on a call like this, but I think this is just something that we do need to, you know.
Yeah. I can try and import it and run it and see if I can figure it out by running it.
Yeah.
Running it locally, and maybe we can come back to it in a little
yeah,
later.
That makes sense.
The provider and test summary appears to be the most useful thing to look at on this page right now. Transmute and measure are dragging it down.
Which is very weird because I think last week this was very different. That's why it's... I think it's... We can do the historical view if anybody wants. And looking at interrupt historical, looking last week. I think this is just a change in since we added the credential, the workflow endpoints. So I would start there, maybe in this, and then.
For sure. Yeah, that is clearly what's failing for all of us. Yeah.
Okay. So let's.
Another question here. I don't know if whomever built this page is on the call.
I mean, we've all kind of built it, but it's all based on what. What's up?
All right. So, I would like to have, one more column on that, summary, which is the overall, right? It's currently per I guess, per provider.
Yeah. Okay.
We're still breaking this down by company instead of by product, which is still troublesome.
So you mean, on the provider and test summary, test type, GS1, MavenNet, Transmute, Measure overall? Is that what you're looking for?
What I'm looking for on the test type line, yes, which isn't the test type line, right? It's the provider line. I want an overall, the average percentage there. And the other thing is
that provider, there's one at the top. If you look at the overall, the big summary at the top, there's across all provider average of tests is 56.5. You're looking for credential issue average is blah, credential revocation average is blah, right?
I see the one-liner, yeah. Right, what I'm looking for, so credentials issue in this subtable, we've got 100, 100, 28, 28. Mm-hmm. I want to know the overall average, because that's an ecosystem picture. And the other thing is someday, somehow, we have to stop talking about companies and start talking about the actual offering that is in play, because bigger companies are going to have multiple implementations in multiple divisions, and they're going to have products that need to be tested, as opposed to, I mean, Microsoft is not a useful entry here.
Mm-hmm. I'll raise two issues on that. So, basically, the issues are interop, summary, page, improvements. And it's, one, add a column to the, provider summary that gives us overall.
Yep.
Provider summary for overall. And then number two is use product offering instead of company names. And I agree with both.
Hooray.
Okay. I have created that. And
then figuring out what changed between last week and now. Yeah. I think it's probably more than workflow given
the
significant change. But maybe it's just because that's solo for everybody.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
The two poorer columns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anything else anybody wants to raise before we move on to PRs? Awesome. Let us go to PR review then. First thing is the trace vocab, and this is our standing link.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think the client scope was added as an environment variable, and I'm guessing that's not defined in our secret. Mm-hmm. That suddenly is immediately failing locally here.
Okay.
Might that be it?
Probably, because I think what's going on is you guys are passing all the fail tests, which, you know, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not passing any of the pass tests. So, and that's both on your end and measures. And I believe I did something on our end when you did that to fix it last week. So that's probably what's going on here.
Yeah.
And that's just the scope. I think we merged that in last week, a PR, right? On scopes? Or the week before? Let me try and find it. I mean, we can figure it out offline, but I'm pretty sure that you're right. I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay. So it's probably something that needs to be update to the README and an update to environment variables to add scopes for the companies that don't have it that need it. Okay. Are we good to go through the trace vocab, or is there anything else anyone wants to bring up? Awesome. Okay, so going by the least recently updated order, I believe this is the first PR, which is miscellaneous schema property cleanup. This is by Ross. Do you want to walk us through it, Russell?
Yeah, I've been working on creating some fake data for trade. In the process, I have come across a lot of troublesome definitions, descriptions, or terms and descriptions and stuff. So this this just addresses a few miscellaneous things. Like one thing should be a Boolean, not a string. There's a few places where it looks like somebody copy-pasted properties but didn't actually change the definitions of the terms, so just errors mostly.
Okay. There was a comment from Ted about some grammar improvements that I don't believe was merged in. Would you be able to take a look at that, and can we get one more review, please?
Oh, let's see. Were those the grammar? Yeah, those were to do with workflows, which I didn't touch, but there was a big resulting change after my PR. I think when I built this, it changed a lot of stuff in to do with a workflow change that had already gone through previously. So I don't think it's my job to fix those.
That's fair, and I think there's another PR that I mentioned it in this conversation, I think, where that also shows very similar things, and I think that was also by you. So I'm very confused about what's going on with the workflows.
Yeah, I think I did investigate it in the other PR. Let me just read what I...
So the other PR is 842 for reference, and
yeah,
I think...
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it looks like somebody... There was a big change in workflows, removing SVIP Steel Tech Demo, replacing it with CBP Steel Tech Demo. 2023, the schemas were changed like 2 weeks ago, but for some reason, workflows.html was not updated. And I guess, yeah, when I ran npm run build, it did update the HTML based on those changes from 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I think those changes should be included in this PR, just because, as far as I can tell, those are intended changes. But please correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is a question, I guess, to the Transmute team.
Yes.
Because this does affect the Steel demo, right? Can anyone there take a look and just let us know what's going on here?
Yeah, I'll look. Give me a second.
Thank you. Okay, while this is taking a look, we can keep going and go through more stuff. There was the add credential status to bank account credential. This was something that I was blocking a while ago that I accepted the changes soon. I think it is ready to be included. Sorry, I forgot to put it in. This is PR number 820, and I think it has two approvals. Anyone have anything they would like to... Can I get one more approval? And anyone have anything they want to bring up about it?
Minor note, I think when we go through PRs, the usual order is the first submitted, so that there isn't... Is that the case? To reduce conflicts?
I believe so.
Rather than the least recently updated.
If so, that's a change I wasn't aware of, and it should go into the
list. Yeah.
Ted, are you saying that we should be doing least recently updated, or we should be doing the least recently created.
I thought we were doing least recently updated, but I don't have a horse in this race.
Okay. I know that we do that for issues.
Yeah. I think for issues we do that because we want to make sure that, like, there's nothing that is stale and we never go through, right? And we don't keep going over the same thing.
A constant churn on issues.
Yeah.
But it does make sense, you're right, to do the,
oldest. Fair enough. So I'm gonna sort again by oldest, and I'll put in the new sorting in chat. So that means the PR we need to review is 817 by NIS, which updates term definitions for workflows.
Yeah, we've had that around for a while. I just committed all these changes earlier today, so I think it should be okay now.
Awesome. And this has approval. Can I get one more approval? I don't know if Ori's had an approval or just comments. No, I just had comments. Can I get one more approval, please, on this? And we should be good. Excellent. Thank you. This has been merged. Next up is the PR we just were talking about, which is add credential status to bank account credential. Ori has approved it, I've approved it, and we've gone through and the changes have been accepted. Anyone have any problems merging this in? This is PR 820. Merged. Next up, PR 841, which fixes the entry number example missing some fields. So this is 841. The organization, I think, had things defined up above, but they were not included actually in the physical example of the that we're using in the YAML, right? So this looks very straightforward. The only kind of sort of question I have is about address country. I think we said country should be the two letter, but I don't
know. Oh,
remember.
Yes.
That's
true. Yep.
What's
one in that?
And what I'm going to do is we can just merge this out of band. Okay. If that's okay with everyone, we can keep going. Next up is consolidate transport and shipping stop. This is PR number 842 by Russell.
Yeah,
that's the one we look. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is the other, the second one that changes workflow as a side effect.
Yeah, and I think you just, the HTML code generated on your side, and then that's why it's coming through like this, but the concept is okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and this just consolidates two very similar schemas. It looks like, shipping stop, one of them is used by IATA, air stuff. I think that's transport, and shipping stop was used by, mostly by references to vessel, but they have almost entirely the same field. So I just tried to make, transport. Yeah, I just tried to make transport the go-to.
Okay. I think what we need to do with that, workflows thing is we need to create its own separate issue because Ted's comments are valid. And if this is auto-generated, I'm pretty sure this is happening somewhere else and it's going to keep coming back up. So this, Russell, do you mind just creating an issue for this? Just for Ted's comment on grammar so we can go back and update it on separate PR.
An issue just for the grammar thing?
Yeah, because that's coming from the workflow, like the actual workflow definition, and all that'll need is just taking the exact same string and putting it in the workflow definition, you're done, right?
Okay.
That way it doesn't keep popping up everywhere else.
Yeah.
And this has approvals, so I'm going to merge this in as is, and then if you could create that issue, that would be wonderful.
Sure.
Okay, done. That is, that was PR 842. Next up is 843, which is the one that we just reviewed. And I think this is the one that, does the product price thing that you said we're cleaning up, right? We do have two reviews on it. Are there any objections to merging PR 843 in? Oh, sorry, I forgot to paste it. Excellent. Hearing no objections, I'm going to go ahead and merge 843. Next up is 844, which adds TIN to the MOTEST report. This is a super big PR. Can you walk us through it, Ness, please?
Yes, I came across a meal test report that also included TIN, so adding that. And Ori raises a good point. The chemical compounds should resolve, so I just make an issue for that now.
Awesome. Do the other chemical compounds resolve, or is it just TIN that doesn't resolve?
I don't think so. Let's just check.
Because that might just, you know, be a bigger issue, and I think the fix for that would be the same for all of them, right?
Yeah, no, it only goes to trace vocab. It doesn't go to anything specific.
Okay, so if you don't mind updating the issue with...
No, that's what the issue
is. Oh, that's what the issue is. Okay, fair enough. In that case, I think that makes sense. We have two approvals. Anyone have any problems merging 844 in? Excellent. I am going to go ahead and merge 844. I believe that leaves us with the oil and gas advance manifest. That's 845. So what this does is it modifies the sum of scheduled deliveries to be an array rather than a single string. Talking to customers, and they basically said they need both the cubic meter and the barrel quantities in an advanced manifest. And so they just requested an array of both. So this is what that PR does. And Ted had an excellent catch on the spelling of it. And I think that is actually fine up above. It's just a mistake in the example itself. And I am going to go ahead and commit that. And I already had a point about pointing to schema.org rather than traceability quantitative value. I think that's also valid, and I'm going to go ahead and commit that.
And the last thing, which I didn't put in as a change request, this PR uses OG, which I'm pretty sure we decided was oil and gas, and I don't know how that should be expanded or where, or if it's just an issue with the PR name.
I think that's the PR name, because it does not affect at all the actual underlying. The thing isn't even called an oil and gas monthly advance manifest, it's just called a monthly advance manifest. It just so happens to be used by oil and gas. Sorry?
It comes from someplace, that being oil and gas. If we're going to say OG advanced manifest, rather we should say oil and gas.
That's just a PR name. That's not.
I understand, but it's a question of looking back at things.
Okay, I can modify the PR name. I think, I can. Oil and gas advanced manifest. Done. Excellent. Anything else? So this is PR 845. We have two approvals. Does anyone have any objections to merging 845? Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and merge that in. I believe that is all the PRs that we have for traceability vocab. So let's go to trace entrop. On trace entrop side, sorting by oldest, we have documents update docs with regard to OAuth scope changes. Chris, do you mind walking us through this?
Sure. Can you guys hear me okay?
It's a bit metallic, but yes.
Sorry, I'll try to move closer to my mic. This was just some documentation updates related to that scope change to the scope change that we just discussed that broke all of our testing. Looks like we got some change requests from Ori that I have not seen yet. This is strictly documentation updates.
Is the client scope optional?
The client scope is optional. So the reason that we have a problem, I actually just looked this up, none of our tests are passing a value for the client scope, even if it is provided in the secrets. So we need to modify them so they either pass the secret value that is provided by the implementation or an empty string, but we have to pass a value there.
Okay. I think Ori had a change request on just the actual explanation of what the client scope is, but I would like to add to that to just include that it is optional somewhere in that, just to make it clearer for anybody who's using it if they do not wish to use it.
Can you suggest wording for that? Because currently it says, if your service provider requires that you name specific scopes that should be included, you should provide a value for this.
Yeah. Ori's change request removes that sentence. So that's why I'm trying to say that I would like some way to indicate that it is optional.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I was looking at his first one. Apologies. Okay. Great. I can change that. And if you guys want, we can merge it offline after I make that change.
I think that's fair enough. So
just a quick comment. It sounds like potentially there's a lot of work being done to maintain support for this optional parameter, and I'm wondering, can we just remove it? If no one's making use of the optional parameter, why maintain it at all?
We have to have it, otherwise people who use Azure AD can't participate at all in this.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, make supporting them the default case and then remove any of the other optional details. Like, why? It seems like we don't need to maintain this particular code test suite because it's not actually achieving interoperability and people are I guess the other way of saying what I'm saying is, like, is anyone getting value out of the tests that are currently only excluding Azure AD? Because if no one's getting value out of it, let's just remove them.
We already removed them. That's why we're changing the documentation. That's why this client scope variable exists, because we no longer do any of those tests that make sure you're passing the right scopes. Now we just assume that you have the right scopes, and if you need to specify wonky names for the scopes, that's what this variable is for.
I see.
Azure AD won't work unless you specify specific scopes. Like, you can't just omit that from the
OAuth
request.
I understand. Yep, makes sense.
Awesome. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna add a comment saying please address the CR and merge out of offline. Does that work for everyone? And maybe Chris, you could ask Ori to take a review again after you've made the changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So that's PR number 580. Next up is PR number 581, and this was done by Ori. You want to walk us through it, please?
I think this is the one that just, like, removes the deprecated suites that we're not using, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, pretty straightforward in what it does. It also refers to the media type, which, you know, potentially could change, but it's better to refer to that media type than it is to refer to a suite that no one is using.
Mm-hmm. On that note, I've seen some changes where people are using JSON Web Key and people are using JSON Web Key 2020. Where is the exact definition of that? Is that in the JWVC JOT spec?
No, it's currently in VC Data Integrity. There's an open pull request that defines JSON Web Key, the RDF class that relies on JWKs as a key serialization.
And JSON Web Key 2020 is defined currently nowhere really, right?
Yeah, it's never been defined anywhere.
Okay. On our side internally, do we expect to continue supporting JSON Web Key 2020, or do we want to just say we will support JSON Web Key?
I would do just JSON Web Key, and I would cite the data integrity context definitions when you care to do RDF dataset processing. But this all applies to the context for the DID document as opposed to the context for a credential.
Yeah. Well, my point is that your PR just adds JSON Web Key and doesn't remove JSON Web Key 2020. And I think if we're already saying we're going to reference the data integrity one, might as well just remove that end and, you know, get it all done in one go, right?
I mean, I would merge the pull request as is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I would update other things as this PR that I just linked lands. Once 137 lands, we might make further updates, but I mean, incremental improvement seems worth yeah. it when you can get it.
It does. Okay. So that's 581. It's pretty straightforward. We have two approvals and we have all comments resolved. I'm going to go ahead and merge it in. Last one today is, update sort order for PRs in meetings.md, and I think this is just something Ted opened right now and just makes it oldest. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. And just give me a second to test that out. Awesome, that works. Gonna go ahead and add my review, and I think we have enough reviews on it. Cool. Well, it's 2:06. I believe we have trace vocab processing today. Before we do that, does anybody have anything they want to bring up? Awesome. Any issues that anybody wants to bubble up ahead of anything else? Well, let's go with the default order that we go with, which I have just linked. So next up is conflation of identifier use class traceability identifier. This is 571. This was assigned to me. I remember this. This is basically we need to update the terms on unique identifier and other places. I just didn't get around to it. It's a very fair criticism and this should be addressed. I'll just say okay. Does anyone have any questions about this or need any more context on this? This is just basically within the same class, we're defining two things using the same term, and so there's a conflation of terms. And that should not happen. Okay. Next up is 593, which is date string should use date time. Ben raised this. Is Ben on the call today? Ben, do you mind walking us through it?
Yes, I just joined. Let me pull up the link. I think it's just a business schema issue of type string and then add format date time to make sure that it's a specific form of date time for the format.
Okay, and is that just for this one CTPath schema?
I think it's using it more consistently across, but I think I don't think it's a good idea to have like a blanket fix all the things issue.
Yeah.
So maybe we could scale this to make sure date for top level credentials uses date time or something like that.
So I think this is also one of those things where it's a good call out to make sure everybody goes through their credentials and double checks date versus date time for themselves. Would you mind creating separate issues, or I don't know how we normally do this, but I think a good practice would be just creating a list with separate issues and say per stream, please go through it and assign the stream leads. Or do you think that's too much?
Or I think that since this is assigned or applied consistently across all credentials, I think this is just a quick look through, you know, the credentials that we have, do a quick find in that specific folder. And then just do a PR that applies to all of them at once. So
point is some of them are actually, to Ted's point, they're not date times. Sorry, they're actually just dates, right?
Oh, no, I mean, in the case of, like valid from or valid until, like the top level credential part that's consistent, I think it can be applied to that. Otherwise, yeah, Ted's point is completely valid. There are places where it would be date, and there are different places where it would be date time. So I would just say that this is only for the top-level credential values for the places where the standard
finds it. I'm
going
to write that in as the issue action item. So action item, update top-level credentials to use date time where relevant. Do not update individual, what do we call them? Stream credentials?
Or, yeah, don't worry about the credential subject.
Excellent.
Alright, I assign myself to this. So I can do a pass of where that applies, put a PR, and then hopefully close this out, because whenever I did this, I didn't do a very good job of defining the scope.
Fair enough. I added the ready for PR label. This looks pretty good to go. Anything else you want to bring up on this?
No, I think that's it.
Excellent. Next up is 594, which is a metallurgy test vocabulary. This is Nis. Would you mind walking us through it?
Yeah. There are the different kinds of tests are defined, but yeah, so we could be more precise than just a string that defines what is the standard that defines the test being carried out on a mill test, reflected on a mill test. So it's because I came across those various standards and I thought that would be the right way to express the content of the mill test. I haven't worked anything anymore on it since then, so I couldn't be more specific about how to do that precisely.
Would you mind, so what's the next steps on this? Is it go through these standards and seeing, does it make sense here? What's the action item that we're talking about? We're not even actually.
I kind of did that on the second. Let me. Good to assign me, and let's come back to it. I wasn't really prepared to answer this.
So okay. So just to clarify, do you think your second comment is the action item, which is I suggest to switch to as the vocab for these terms?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Are these all, so when you say these are by this PDF document, RDFs, does that mean that I can't actually get to?
I think the result could be standards are? If I remember correctly, they're pretty.
Oh, they do resolve. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Alright. Does anyone know if any, like, IP issues or anything like that? If we use ISO standards in our vocab terms? Or should this be fine, or anyone have any insight there?
As long as the things resolve to people who haven't bought into ISO.
Yeah. Plus one.
Yeah, so it resolves, so I'm not logged in anything ISO. I can see it, so I'm guessing we should be good. Okay. Thank you, Nuss. Next up is define a max size limit for JSON LD VCs. This is PR number 379, or he says there must be some sort of recommendation on that format. I said probably should be in trace interop. Or he thinks it's a format issue. Sorry?
I just followed the link from percentage elongation, and it does work, but it's the wrong link. It should go to percentage elongation, not to elongation. 3.4, not 3.3.
I see. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. But I think regardless, he's going to have to go through all of them anyway to update it, right? So I'll make sure to note that. All right. I have added that. Oh, and for whatever reason, I didn't escape it. Give me a second, sorry. I just a random downvote. Sorry, back to size limit for JSON LD VCs. This is 379. This is basically about if you want to store these VCs in Mongo, there's an upper limit per document, which is 16 megabyte. Does anyone know where we ended up on this? Ori and Mike discussed that on a call, suggested guidance, especially in light of possibly moving away from RDF canonicalization. Does anyone have any comments here? Ori, do you know where we are exactly on this issue?
Where are you, chat?
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Does anyone else know what's going on here?
This is really problematic. We're taking one product's limitation, arbitrary limitation, that is significantly smaller than file size limits on any operating system, and saying this tiny thing is the most you can have for a JSON LD document, or a JSON document, because that's the most that Mongo can deal with. But that's not acceptable to me.
Okay.
I think it's more around, like, the amount of time it takes for signing. Like, if you have, like, a 1 megabyte JSON LD file, it's going to take, like, 1 minute to sign and, like, could even time out on, like, an i7 with 32 gigabytes of memory. Like, it's JSON LD, the canonicalization operation before signing is extremely expensive, and there is like a practical small limit that you would expect to see just as a practical terms of what can actually be computed.
Okay, that's a different argument than Mongo has this limit. I would like to see those explicit bits put into wherever.
They're the last two links. If you look at the last two links in Ori's comment, they are a comparison of how many, like basically it's blank notes to signing duration, and it just goes up, right? And I think that's the underlying problem, right?
Okay. So Right. So this should be documented in the thing that says there's a practical limit here and this is why.
Yeah.
Because this is a thing that will change, right? We've all experienced Moore's Law a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. No, come on, man. 256 megabytes is good enough for everyone.
Hey, no.
I'm joking.
I think an underlying thing, though, is that is Chris's point about we are moving away from RDF canonicalization, maybe, as a hard requirement. So if that drops, maybe we don't care anyway, right? So I am in favor, personally, of a PR that says what Ted says about make it as small as possible. I think what it should be is a section that says, please make it as small as possible. This vocabulary expects it to be smaller than and then whatever it is, right? With, and then a link to the reasons why. I think that's probably the best way to go about this. I don't know. I think this is a case of if you see somebody out in the wild doing a 16 terabyte or whatever it is, like credential, you just point them to this section and tell them, please don't do that. Is that a fair enough solution?
Maybe.
I think there's a practical limit on what can currently be computed, and that could be updated depending on, like, if quantum computer, I mean, kind of to Ted's point, like, if quantum computing, you know, lets you do it in half a second instead of, like, 20 minutes, then that's, you know, that's a technical dependency. And then also, I think, you know, to Chris's point, if we move away from JSONLT and canonicalization, it's just hashing the bytes and signing the bytes, which would make it a faster operation. So I think we need some kind of language to kind of describe what the current landscape is for what hash is being, you know, what operation is being applied and what current hardware limits there are.
And it's also worth noting that this is a sort of deployment trade-off. For whatever your use case is, it might be that 24 hours to do this thing is worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my point is, I think guidance is what we're saying, right? I don't think we're saying a hard no. I think we're saying, here's guidance, please follow the guidance. And if you choose to not process something that uses this vocabulary because it's huge, I think that's a trace interrupt question, where you can just say, hey, I just refuse to process something that's going to, you know, lock up my machine for a day, right?
Yeah. Well, and then I think part of the use case we're thinking around is like transactions. If we need to have, you know, hundreds of transactions per second or per minute, then, you know, the smaller the better, it's going to detract from you. But maybe, yeah, to Ted's point, if you have a computer with, like, you know, if you have a data center with, you know, 300 CPUs and, you know, 3 terabytes of memory, and you want to spend a day signing something, well, you know, go ahead.
When you sign that trillion Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay. So any action items on right now, this max size limit for JSON LDVCs. I put a comment at the end saying what we're looking for really is a section that has guidance that says, please go as small as possible because of blah, blah, blah. And here's best practices and try and do this. Is that a fair action item for us to make this ready for PR?
I think that sounds good to me.
Ted?
I think what's here is fine to, you know, make it ready for PR.
Excellent. Anyone willing to volunteer themselves for this? Come on, guys. All right, I'll volunteer myself. So that is PR number 379. It's 2:23. I think we can probably do one more. Nis, I think you closed. Oh, you just.
Yeah, I just
had to close them.
Yeah.
So that's 796. Just looking up. Oh, sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
If we only have time for one more, I just have a quick PR that may fix the interop testing issue that we were talking about earlier.
Go for it.
I pasted it in the chat. It's 585.
585, which is client scope. It adds it. What happens if client scope is empty? Like if the actor did not provide a client scope?
That's the part that I'm not 100% sure on. I can't actually run this test until we've merged it in.
Okay.
Plus one on merging it in?
Yeah, I'm happy to merge it in. At least we can see a bit.
We need this in any case.
If it breaks everything, I'm happy to continue working on it today until it doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair.
It won't break anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, I think that makes sense to me. One thing that might actually make it work better is in the place where we send out the request for the client scope, for the auth, is it the pre-request scope? I can't remember where exactly it is in the Postman. You could just put an if statement on if client scope is present and then just send the other object, right? And that might just, you know, fix it for both people.
It may, but if we don't pass the variable in the first place, we can't make use of it.
Yeah. No, I'm saying this PR definitely needs to go through, but I'm saying as a follow-up, if this does end up breaking it for a bunch for other things, I think that would be a really good way to just avoid the break, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I think we have enough approvals, and I'm going to go ahead and merge that in. Okay. Chris, do you mind if you keep an eye on this and just update us?
Yeah, I'll trigger a run right after this call and keep an eyeball on it.
Excellent. Well, I guess we're at 2:25. I think we can give everybody their time back. I'm happy to upload the minutes and the audio. Thank you all. It's nice to have everybody back on the call, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mahmood. See ya.
Hi, everyone.
Bye. Yeah, see ya.